You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking the Holiday Survival Edition here on Perspectives. Now, if you want to get the most you've ever gotten out of the Christmas and holiday season, you got to apply these 7 steps we're talking about tonight. You know, a lot of times we go into the holiday seasons, we stress out, we overcompensate, we just get out of our own skin. We don't feel like ourselves, and we make rookie mistakes, quite honestly. And so tonight, I'm going to give you the 7 steps to making this the greatest holiday season you've ever had. Bill, how are you doing tonight?
You know, I am doing wonderful, Ashley. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all the good stuff. I'm really interested in hearing what you have to say tonight, because I think that's maybe a major contributor to holiday stress, don't you think?
Well, yeah, everybody stresses out about things that they really maybe have no control over.
Yeah.
Or they get stressed out around their family. A lot of people get stressed. It's a big stressor. Is their family and friends coming in town?
And it only happens once a year, so it's not like you deal with it on a daily or weekly basis.
Unless you're going to a therapist on a weekly basis discussing it. But yeah, you're right. You're right. The stress can be a little overwhelming. Eric, how you doing?
Hey, I'm just trying not to get overwhelmed and trying not to make rookie mistakes, because we know what rookie mistakes look like on Mondays after NFL games on Sundays.
Ooh.
That's right.
It's not pretty.
That isn't pretty.
That is for sure.
It's a sad state of affairs, really.
It is.
So let's talk about the holiday survival. You know, because I think a lot of times people see the holidays as they hope that they can survive them. And I think that holidays should be more than that. I think it should be way more than just survival. I think it should be fun. I think it should be interesting. And I think you should have a good time. So let's start with these 7 steps that you can actually follow to have a wonderful holiday season. I think we need to begin with believing in yourself. You know, I think a lot of times we choose to not believe in ourselves. We get a little insecure, and we kind of seem to fall for the BS of who we're supposed to be. And I think that happens a lot of times when we have family around, because we feel that we're supposed to be this type of person, especially with our mom or dad. You're supposed to be that type of daughter, that type of son, or, you know, a relative. You're supposed to be a certain type of person instead of just being yourself.
Yeah, you're supposed to conform.
Yeah, you're supposed to conform. And you go back to that old narrative from like 30 years ago when you were in the house, and stuff that was going on then still carries over today. But yeah, just be yourself, right?
Do you still have to sit at the kids' table, Eric?
You know, I do. It's safer than sitting at the adults' table.
So you do it by choice.
I do it by choice.
Gotcha.
The kids are a lot better.
Gotcha.
I sit at the kids' and the grandkids' table and hold the infants. That's what I do.
I just think it's interesting. A lot of times we just get insecure. I know people that are in their mid-30s to early 40s who actually smoke and hide it from their family. And I think it's funny. I think a lot of people always seen that the Christmas Vacation, where the wife of Chevy Chase is in there cooking, and she like lights up a cigarette. Yeah. And you hear from the second floor the mom going, "Are you smoking again?" She's, "No, Mom." You know, and she like, you know, cracks the cabbage in half, you know, and gets angry and puts a cigarette out. But I think a lot of people still hide things from their family. And why do they do that? I mean, who cares about the judgment call?
And most of the time, they're going to know anyway.
It's that magical...
Because they know you.
It's that magical spell of discipline that parents put on their kids when they're really young. I've got people that are in their 60s that still hide from their parents today. It's the funniest thing.
Isn't that hilarious? Thing.
They're like they're 6 years old again. It's funny.
And you're like, man, how old are you? You're way older than me.
Well, and I think we do it without thinking about it, because, you know, think about it. If... you're born into a certain role in the family. And even if you, even as you grow older and we all, you know, kind of go our own ways and have our own lives, you still don't truly outgrow a lot of those roles. And I think most people just do it without even thinking about it.
It's kind of funny. My wife shares a story with me, and they call their great grandfather and grandfather Pawpaw. And so what would happen is that everybody would get together. They would do the gifts. They would do all the stuff that families do. and everybody would hang tight until Pawpaw left. And Pawpaw left early because Pawpaw was like 90 years old.
Right.
And Pawpaw typically left about 8 o'clock. And the minute that Pawpaw walked out the door, everybody went to their trunk to get all the alcohol and stuff that they wanted. And then the grown folks part is they save again right after Pawpaw left.
And probably the reason why, Eric, is because it was just easier that way.
Yeah, it was easier. Yeah.
Because, Pawpaw, didn't approve of alcohol.
Yeah.
So, instead of, doing the major confrontation, well, Papa, I'm an adult, with all due respect, I'm an adult, I can do what I want, let's just do it after he leaves.
You know how bad those people's hangovers must have been, because they're waiting it out like they're a kid. They're over here just like pounding shots, right? And everything. I mean, it's a bad scene. Some people call that
they're making up for lost time. Okay, he's gone
now. But it's all good, it's all in a good spirit though, and yeah. I think everybody there has a good time, and truly everybody's kind of being themselves, because being themselves was being respectful to Papa. Also,
right.
Well, like a lot of people also talk about the Christmas, the Christmas feeling, the Christmas time, and I think we all have this special feeling over the holiday season. But I think that it should really be an all year long thing. I think a lot of times we put this into like the last few days of December, but I think if we begin to believe in ourselves, like our insecurities tend to go away, and we have more peace and relaxation that becomes us, and it seems that we have a better life experience, a better experience with our relatives, because we're able to relax and just be ourselves. I mean, I hate to say it, but I wouldn't be hiding my alcohol from Papa. I mean, it comes a time when you got to grow up and say, hey, this is me. And you know what? If you accept it, that's great. If you don't, it is what it is.
Knowing you, your Papa would say, hey, pass that over.
Pass it over. Can I get a drink too? Yeah. No, I agree. It's easier. I mean, it's easier to live 365 consistently versus trying to cram it all into a couple of days or a couple of weeks at the end of the year. I mean, I agree with that. And I think as you get older, I just don't have the energy. I don't have the energy. And so I treat the holidays truthfully the way I treat and try to treat every other day. And that's facing that day, doing the best that I can and letting the folks that I'm around know that I love them. The holidays are just an extra special version of that.
And I agree with you on that. And I think people just love honesty. I mean, I personally relish in honesty. When people are honest with me, no matter how it sounds, no matter what's really going on in there, I leave judgment behind, and I really like when people are just honest with me. And I think for the most part, your family members, your friends will appreciate the honesty. It's a fresh take on life, and if as long as they can just stop judgment for a second, I think it's kind of cool. And I think you get to know more about people. You get more facets of them instead of just this, this representative that they show up to Christmas with. That's the perfect Eric that doesn't do anything wrong, that doesn't drink, that doesn't do this, that doesn't do that. And they're only going to see this one part of Eric, when in actuality, there might be things that they might be like, I'm not so happy about. But at the same time, I'm really glad that I know him as a person. And if they're not really happy about those things, what kind of judgment calls are they really making on that person anyway?
I love when I became liberated from my familial idealized self. I was the oldest. I was the grandkid who went to college. I was the kid who went, and played football, and the kid that was on TV and didn't come from a whole lot and did the whole bootstrap thing. And once I got to a point, as I got older, I was more comfortable letting folks know that I wasn't that perfect kid all the time. I made a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. And once I stepped away from my family and let them see the scars and let them see the warts, I became more comfortable, to be quite honest, because it was hard carrying around that idealized narrative in a family setting. That should be the one place, to Ashley's point, to where you just let the hair down and you show the warts and not be condemned for it.
Now, I have a question for you, Ashley. We've been talking about the family dynamic. What about like a friendship dynamic? Like, for example, your work environment, because this is the time of year where office parties, and stuff like that, the Secret Santa that type of thing. And so there's a different dynamic when you have a group of friends,
right?
Whether they're friends at work or, friends outside of work. So how does the dynamic work there?
Well, I think if they're friends, they're friends. I mean, as long as it's not somebody that's trying to stab you in the back. But I think if they're friends, they're friends. And I mean, you should be honest with them too, because it makes you more humanistic. I mean, I really do. I mean, unless it's something that you can't allow to get back to the boss, because you might lose your job.
Yeah.
But I think you might want to censor yourself maybe to a little degree if that's the case. But otherwise, if they really are your friends in every sense of the word, then I think they would just embrace whatever's going on. You know, you don't want to get crazy at the business party, though. I mean, if you're going to have a few drinks, have a few drinks. Control yourself a little bit. You don't want to be on the chandelier. You don't want to be making out with, you know, folks that you work with. But
at least not openly.
Yeah, not openly.
For all you secret lovers out there.
Let's go have a business meeting in the, you know, bathroom.
Yeah,
there,
for all you secret lovers out there, at least not openly. Huh?
And it works a few times for people to date other people in their organization, but be careful. I mean, it's kind of like dating the neighbor across the hall.
Don't fish off the company pier.
I made that mistake once upon a time.
I'm assuming y'all are married, so it didn't work out.
It did not work out.
Not at all, right?
In fact, it crashed and burned. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know exactly.
They always crash and burn, don't they?
Not always.
Really?
Not always. I've known some very happily marriages and relationships.
I know a few, too.
That began as a work
thing? Yeah, I know a few.
Wow.
They don't work together anymore, though. I know people that all got married, and then they separated the work thing.
Right. But still, I mean, their relationship began in the work environment, and, you know, it worked out. So
love my wife, couldn't work with her all day. She knows it.
Most people can't. And by the way, FYI, when I talk about believing in yourself, there's a difference between believing in yourself and being a know-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all, okay? Because don't fall into that trap. Believing in yourself is totally different from knowing everything out there.
Ashley, I already know that, okay?
Yeah, know-it-all. Seriously. So when you're believing in yourself, that's one thing. But when you're just saying that you know everything, that's a totally different story. So when we return, we're going to be talking about the other 6 steps that you can follow to make this the best holiday season ever. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 2 shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing surviving the holidays. It's our Perspectives Holiday Survival Edition. And we're going through about 7 steps. And these 7 steps, if you follow them, will make this Christmas holiday season the best ever. You know, right before the break, we were discussing being yourself and believing in yourself. And it's such a big deal to believe in yourself because when we believe in ourselves, we have that inner feeling. We feel good about ourselves. We're not insecure. We're very secure. And that security actually gives us peace and it makes us feel relaxed. We're not so stressed out about trying to be somebody we're not. We're not so stressed out about trying to impress somebody. We are honestly impressed with ourselves. And there's a big difference between believing in yourself and being a know-it-all. Okay, nobody likes a know-it-all. But when you believe in yourself, it's a different feeling. You just feel good about yourself. You acknowledge the situations and you don't try to hide things that happen because a lot of times our past, no matter how much we like it or how much we don't, made us who we are today. So the second step on surviving this holiday season is to realize that your family is just but your family.
It's just but your family?
That's all they are.
A butt or a family?
Well, maybe both. Maybe both.
For some people, they're just butts. Yeah, and other people, they're just butt family. But, you know, they're just the family because... Yeah. You know, a lot of people sit there and say, oh my gosh, why can't I get along with these people? Why do I have these issues? Why do I have these problems?
Because you're all exactly alike. That's what it is.
Whoa.
Yeah, just because you're all exactly alike.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Did I step in something? Let me step.
Most people's families are the exact opposites of them.
No. There's traits. There are traits.
No, 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 no. Wait a minute. Here's what scares me. There's more than one of Ashley.
That's
terrifying.
That's the woe.
That terrifies.
She's gonna come
me.
By here today yeah, later no, on. Too.
OMG.
Oh yeah, she's gonna be right behind you.
Uh
oh. Oh, there she is.
Let me step out of this. Well, let me speak from personal experience. When I see my family, good or bad, I see strands, DNA pun, of characteristics that are either in...
I got that.
Yeah.
delayed reaction.
Yo, shut up.
Delayed reaction. But good or bad, there are strands of characteristics that are, I'll put it this way, that I am very familiar with that sometimes live within me that are suppressed or live within me that have flowered to the degree of success. And that's sometimes scary. These folks are, and they know your weak spots. They all know your weak spots.
They know you probably better than you know yourself.
Better you know yourself, yeah. And I got some aunts, and they'll remind me in a minute. Boy, I used to change your diaper. Don't you ever try to get sassy with me.
Sassy.
Breaks me down every time.
Sassafras.
Yeah, and I think I'm this big-time guy, and they break me down to that little bitty toddler with a diaper every time.
And you're just like, Yes, ma'am.
I'm like, yes, ma'am.
I remember when you pee-peed in the bed. We had to change those. We had to change those sheets. You're just like, great, thanks. Thanks.
My mom always tells me, look, you mess with me, I'll just take you out. And I'll make another one look just like you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, okay, try that now, Mom. Try now. put your money where your mouth is.
But actually,
I don't dare call her bluff. I don't dare because I think she'll call it.
You remember, she gave you authorization on a previous show to just take you out and shoot you. Remember that?
Well, yeah. Well, if I get to the point where I'm just like, you know, terminally ill and there's no hope of recovery, but not now, Ashley. I mean, I think you're a little too eager to get rid of
me. We love you, man. Don't do it. Is this a good Ashley? Is this the other Ashley?
I was going to say, I think the other Ashley's come out.
She just stepped in. Yeah.
Talk about being honest. I think she's honestly, you know, brutally plotting my death.
No, but
here,
you told me to do that. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. I had no one to desire to do that, but which, now you put me in charge of that, so I'll have to figure it out.
Which, by the way, you know, for those of our listeners who aren't sure what Ashley and I and Eric are talking about, then, Ashley, they can go listen to our previous podcast on
iTunes, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, or go to Spreaker.
Spreaker!
Put in Ashley, and you'll find Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
And you can listen to previous shows, and you can find out why I gave Ashley permission to take me out.
Every time I heard the...
You're killing me on this. I'm cracking up over here. I'm just dying on this deal.
Tis the season.
That's right.
Tis the season.
Hey, it's a happy holiday, you know, and what are we thinking about? Killing Bill. And yes, that was a pun too. Yes, that was a pun too. I know what you're thinking.
Oh my God, the DNA strands, the Killing Bill. I love this. No, so I think a lot of people though forget the fact that family is just family by relation though, right? That's the key. Like a lot of times we don't pick our family like we pick our friends.
By blood relation.
You don't pick your family like you pick your friends, right? You get them.
So
they just get given to you.
You have to find a way to get along with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I go back, it's blood relation though. And
their
shared characteristics, good or bad. It's blood relation.
You know,
I think there's shared characteristics in the human race. I don't know if
which
it's
is
all
even
shared.
More depressing.
Yeah, I know, right? thanks a lot, Ashley. You're just making this worse.
Thank you, Ashley. You just expanded my realm of depression.
But,
and connectedness.
Now, Eric, let me ask you a question, though.
It's not even a degree of separation.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's all the same.
You know, nature versus nurture here, okay? You know, I mean, yes, families do have shared traits, but how much of it is the learned dynamic, you know, as far as everybody's personality and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know, and how much of it is just part of your, you know, genetic makeup, okay? Yeah. I personally lean more towards the nurture part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you grew up in this family unit, and based on the personalities there, you just learn, you know, and based on your own natural personality, you learn how to fit in the dynamic.
But what about this? So I grew up in my family unit. I was the only child, and I had a mom and a dad. That's it. And a dog named Snuggles. Okay, so the rest of my family...
Snuggles. So Snuggles. So Snuggles.
So Snuggles. And the rest of my family lived out of state. Okay, and so I only saw them on holidays. And that's the only time I see them anyway, is on holidays. So there's a big difference between the way we were all raised and, again, kind of the impact of that. And so I think a lot of people listening tonight might be in that same position where they might have been raised with just their immediate family. Some people actually listening tonight, half their family is not even in the same country. So they have to actually plan a whole, you know, they have to take off out there and they go for a month at a time to see family. But I think that a lot of times when we're not raised all together, you have a totally different aspect of people. It's almost, and I'm not saying strangers, I'm not using that word, because I think everybody is connected and you can find commonality in any human, period, in a story. We can all find commonality with any person walking down the street right now. However, you feel like you have to find that when you're around family. Like, we got to figure out how we connect here. You know, what do we have in common? You know,
insanity.
Yeah, there you go.
We all want to kill Bill. That worked out. Yeah, let's have some chicken and talk about that.
Bill, to your point, I don't know where the line begins or ends. And you're right, nurture, nature, it all kind of impacts it. I go back to a personal experience, and I didn't know my real father until I was 15 years old. There was a lot of circumstances I'm not going to get into right now. But, you know, it was kind of funny because I was raised in a completely different environment, completely different dynamics. And when I met him and met the other side of the family, it was like, wow, these people are so familiar to me. We talk the same way. The interests are the same. We walk the same way. And so anyway, a completely different situation. But at the end of the day, they're our family and we all have the same challenges, regardless of socioeconomic, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of geography. They're still our family. I go back to something we always talk about in church and I joke about it. When you look at a lot of the stories in the Old Testament, it was always about a tribe or a group that didn't get along with another group or a tribe, and they walked to the other end of the earth to start a new tribe because they couldn't get along with their family.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
And there's been times where I've considered that. Yeah. You know, believe me. You know, I think
like
we
Forrest
all have.
Gump, run. Yeah, just run, Forrest, run.
Yeah, just put on my shoes and just start running and you know, until I run out of room. Yeah.
And so you start another tribe, and guess what? Those same dynamics.
Yeah.
You can't run away. You can't run from your problems, so, okay?
That's right.
And if your family seem to be your problems, you can't run from them.
Can't run from them.
You know, you can't live with them.
Which goes back.
Can't live with them, can't shoot them.
Which goes back to one of the reasons I love this show, because we deal with it.
Yes.
And platforms like this, all of those.
We deal with it the perspectives way.
What a godsend.
And we do, and that's what it means to be authentic and real. That's what we're doing here on Perspectives. Yep. Because, you know, we all know that if you met your family members and you didn't know them before and you met them randomly in an elevator, you probably wouldn't be hanging out and being friends together, okay? We get it. You're not going to go hand-pick those people out to spend every waking moment with, right? However, you got them. You got them in the lottery, in the family lottery, and then you just got to deal with it, you know? I mean, you know, you can't go out there and shoot them. You got to sit there and find some sort of commonality with them. And when we come back and in the next break, we're going to be talking about how to really make that a reality, because we can sit there and say, hey, you got to realize family's family, but how do you really deal with people that sometimes maybe you don't like what they're doing, you don't accept what they got going on? And we're going to talk more about that here when we return.
Interesting.
And I just got a pair of queens playing a little bit of happy poker here on the side.
Yeah, we're doing Texas Hold'em here on Perspectives tonight.
It's a good one. I got a pair of fours up for that. Anyway, so when we return, we're going to talk about how to deal with that family and really how to deal with the assumptions we make about others. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show is the holiday survival edition of Perspectives. You know, we're actually giving you those 7 steps that you can follow to have the best Christmas holiday season ever. Ever. Seriously, ever. And right before the break, we were talking about our second step, and that was to realize that your family is just but your family. That isn't what it is. They're not the people that you hand-selected as your friends. These are your family. And so if you realize that, and you realize that they are there because of blood relation, or whatever type of relation, that you don't have to try to fit in, but try to realize what that's about. And so our third step is to stop the assumptions. This is a judgment-free zone. A lot of times, dealing with our relatives, we make judgment calls.
And you're almost asking the impossible there, Ashley. I mean, don't make judgments about your family. I mean, you grew up around these people.
Yeah, but that's just the wrong way of dealing with it. You can't be happy if you're judging people all the time.
Actually, I know people who, if they're not judging people, then, you know, they're miserable.
Yeah, but they're already miserable.
Well, no, I kid about that, because you're actually right. It's you know, in previous shows, we've called them energy suckers. I mean, these are the people that, you know, they just take up all the air in the room. And, you know, they're miserable people, and they want to spread the misery.
Well, you know, even the most non-miserable people, so there's a lot of people out there, and I agree with you, that make judgments. And a lot of times we make judgment, especially on family members, by their past. And I'm sure everybody listening tonight has had the nephew, the niece, somebody in that...
The crazy uncle.
There's somebody in that perimeter that has done something not good. Okay, possibly gone to jail or done something or been a wild one, and you see that person again and you automatically make a judgment call, but people can make change in their life.
No, I agree. They judge them by their past, and they also judge them by their intra-family lineage. You know, that's...
You say that fast 3 times. Intra-family lineage. Intra-family lineage. I can't even do it.
What?
Yeah. And it's funny. It's funny because, like, so for example, if you've got 3 kids and one of the kids is the wild one and he has a family, and what does he produce? He produces replicas of himself. And so a couple of generations down the road and you get into an argument, you're just like so-and-so and just like so-and-so before him. And
my
just like
mother
so-and-so
does
before.
That
you know
to
what
me,
I'm talking about. And you listeners know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And
you're just like your father,
it.
Bill.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm being dead serious now. Actually, when I was 15 or 16 years old, I had a come to Jesus moment with my mom. And I said, Mom, you know, you're my mother and I respect you and I love you, but I am done listening to you badmouth my father.
Yeah.
And don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
And she hasn't.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And what happens with that, and one of the negative things about that is that you now, not you, Bill, but in general, you carry the burden for a generational fight. You know, and that happens in my family. It's like three generations of people have been arguing. And just, so it's like if you don't choose a side.
That happened years ago.
Yeah, years ago. And if you don't pick a side, then you're automatically judged, to Ashley's point, to be this certain kind of way. And I was caught up in that. You know, just because my so-and-so didn't like you, I'm not supposed to like you either. And it's the funniest thing. And I got to a point in my 20s when I was more independent, done with college. And I said, this is crazy. And I put those things aside and got to know those people as individual people within my family. And you know what? Wound up, we had a lot in common and loved each other because they were sick of it too.
And, you know, Ashley, of course, we are live tonight and we're live on Facebook and Twitter. And I think it would be good for our listeners to get on and share their stories.
Please.
You know, judgmental people in their own family, you know, situations where either our listeners have judged others or perhaps they've been judged. Share your stories with us.
And this is one big family, and don't feel bad because we all deal with the same issues. Trust me, we do.
It's true. I mean, I remember years and years ago, before I was married, I remember my dad and I had a few problems for several years. We didn't speak. And, you know, we went through an issue. I mean, he basically, you know, found another woman and divorced my mom. And there was a lot of stuff going on, you know, and he was hanging out with her before the divorce was really ever gone through. And there was a lot of water under the bridge. Anyway, there were a few years that we didn't speak. And now we're very close. We're very close. And we've dealt with all the problems in the past. But I remember my uncle had probably made a lot of judgment calls on the situation because people hear things not about the reality of it. They just hear things from a second, a third, a fourth party.
Yep.
And so we're sitting there at a Christmas, pre-Christmas dinner on like the 24th, and he just makes some sort of popped off comment. And I looked right at him and I just was like, and I wanted to just go for the jugular.
Wow.
You know, because I was hurt. I'd already gone through enough stress already. And there's this something that just said, hey, just calm it down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I said, you know, hey, I would really prefer to talk with you about this situation, not at the table with 12 other people, but I'd love to talk with you about it. And we went in the other room and we talked for about 2.5 hours.
Awesome. Awesome.
And my uncle and I are extremely close.
Yeah.
We are best friends. But it took me to actually sit there and say, don't be reactive. Okay. Don't be reactive. Don't assume the worst. And go tell him what's going on and explain to him what the reality of the situation is. And then we were able to talk about it and everything changed. I mean, people looked at us and were like, what are y'all doing? We're like, we're going to go shopping. We'll be back. We're going to, and they're like, together?
Yep. Icebreaker. And it changes your reality. And it takes one person. It takes one person to stand up and do that. Ashley, you were that person in that situation in your family. I've been that person in my family. And that's the empowering part of it, is that if you don't like it, you have the power to change it, and you change it within yourself first. One of the things that I do around all of the holidays, everyone who walks into our house, I give them, regardless of what the history is, regardless of who doesn't like who or who's not talking to who or whatever, I give them a big old hug and I say, I love you. Thank you for coming. Enjoy yourself. And so I try to create an environment of love. Does everyone buy into it? Not all the time, but you know what? The ones who do, they leave to some degree transformed. And hopefully that's a way to mend some fences with those individuals.
Now, actually, here's the other side of that coin.
Is this the ugly side of the coin?
Yeah, it is.
There's always an ugly side.
Well, yeah, my mom and her sister, you know, don't get along. And they're both in their 60s now. And here's where it started. It started in their childhood. My mom and her siblings were latchkey kids, and they grew up in the 50s. Okay, so my grandfather was a maintenance man, for the VA hospital. And my grandmother, well, first she worked for the sheriff's department, then she became a teacher.
Okay.
So they both worked during the day. And so after school, my mom and her brother and sister, you know, were pretty much, you know, left to themselves. And, you know, my mom was the oldest. And this is back, you know, Leave It to Beaver, Ozzie and Harriet, you know, type days. My mom was expected to have food, dinner on the table.
Mm-hmm.
When, excuse me, when my grandmother and grandfather came home. As the oldest daughter,
yeah.
Right? And so she was a kind of, she was really the surrogate mother. Now, so, but and my aunt is the youngest. So there's the oldest daughter, youngest daughter dynamic. And where my mom was expected to be kind of the surrogate mother, and my aunt resented it.
Yep.
And
so your aunt was able to be the kid, and your mom was never able to be the kid because she was always having to be the caretaker.
Right.
So she resents the fact that she always had to take care of her.
Right.
And then the flip-flop is that your aunt resisted the fact that she was in charge.
Right. Yep. And, you know, so, and then, okay, so long story short, yada yada, grew up, you know, but to this day, whenever we have family get-togethers, you know, my grandmother still has to play umpire because they will start sniping at each other.
Yep.
Over some dumb,
like they're 6 years old.
You know,
again.
I mean, yeah. Just something that's just so inconsequential, and you know, they'll start sniping each other, and Granny will have to say, "Girls," now they're both 60-year-old women. Girls. You know,
it's sad though because people, you know, do have those issues that go on and on. What would you do? I mean, if you wish you could just sit down with them and say, "Hey, let's talk it over."
I had Bill, man. If you and I aren't soul brothers, we aren't soul brothers, man. Because I got the exact same dynamic, and yeah. It is just baffling to me. And I had a breakdown or breakthrough with that aunt that my mom, and there's several in my family, so there's crisscrossing wars going on all the time. And I had a conversation with my aunt because it just wore me out, especially as a dad. And it was emotional. I said, "Look, I love all of y'all. I love you, Auntie. I love Mom. I love all of that. And you guys have no idea how much hurt you guys cause when you don't get along."
And it because it just sucks up the air out
of
the room.
It sucks the air out of the room.
Everybody else in the room just feels so uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. But the good thing about what we've done as the offspring of that is that we've made a pact to reach across the aisle, which sounds ridiculous, sounds like Congress, to each other.
It sounds like war.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like two warring factions. Let's make peace.
Exactly, to reach across the aisle and stop that cycle. And I think that's the power that we all have. We have that power to stop that cycle and recreate something new and different.
Hey, Ashley, you just drew three of a kind.
You still playing cards?
she's still playing poker over here.
I'm still playing. How'd you see Yale?
Let's play spades. I don't know how to play poker. Let's play spades.
Spades. Gin rummy. Let's do gin rummy if we're going to go spades. No, I agree with you on that. And I think it's easier. Sadly enough, we get so in tune to the reaction. The reaction of reacting, of just being instilled within us, we're going to react. And it's like, you just got to stop the reaction and be proactive. And try to put one step further, you know, ahead of the other. And it's not about who's right or wrong, but it's also like, in the end, what's going to happen? In the end, what are you going to say? I dealt with the situation or I didn't, and I'm upset and I have a lot of regret. And we've done shows before with people jumping in the caskets, trying to get with the people that have already passed on.
Oh, my Uncle Leroy, don't go.
Exactly. I didn't get to tell you how I feel about you. Oh my gosh, I love you. Oh my God. And people don't do it. And so guess what? There's a lot of regret here. So let's try to end that regret, be proactive instead of reactive. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about how to not judge other people by their past mistakes, as well as how to actually accept and move on. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. Show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're doing the Holiday Survival Edition of Perspectives. If you want to get the most you've ever gotten out of the Christmas and holiday season, apply these 7 simple steps that we're discussing about tonight. And right before the break, we were talking about stopping the assumptions. ending judgment, having a judgment-free zone. You know, because I think a lot of times we have a tendency of judging people from their past, about the past mistakes that they've made. A lot of times we do that because we do it by, what, historical reference. Oh, well, this is the way it's always been with that person, so they've got to be that way. As well as we have a tendency of being reactive instead of proactive. And, you know, right before the break, we were talking about how important it is to really just be able to find some sort of middle ground. And I think my, you know, my illustration about my uncle and I discussing about something that I was going to be about very, very reactive about and deciding to actually step up to the plate and discuss with him changed our relationship forever. And I think, you know, the next point that we have, our fourth one, is just to actually allow people and accept them. And that means not placing their past mistakes on them, but also just allowing people to be who they are, accepting who they are. And acceptance is a little bit different from judgment-free, because acceptance is more like, I accept you, I care about you, let's move on.
It, you know, and accepting them warts and all, realizing that we all have our faults.
Yeah.
And I want you know, my friends and family to accept me for who I am. And so it's only fair for me to do the same for them, even if they drive me crazy once in a while. But I'm sure I drive them crazy once in a while.
If you got to be driven crazy every once in a while. You know, that's kind of interesting. I you know, Ashley, you know my sister Erica, and we're a few years apart. And for me, it really began with listening, and not that we have issues. I mean, we're really close, and I'm thankful for that. But one of the things I learned about family is perspective, pun intended. But you can grow up in the exact same house, have the exact same parents, have the exact same DNA pool, and have a completely different perspective than the person sitting right next to you. And she and I would, Eric and I would talk about certain situations, and she would see it not negatively, but she would see it completely different than I did, because I was a little bit older and I saw it through the lens of a guy. She was younger and she saw it through the lens of a girl. So she picked up different nuances than I did. And we would have these conversations and she would point out things that I was completely oblivious to 20 years later. And so listening to the other family member's perspective and realizing that their perspective is as emotionally powerful to them as yours is to you. And not disrespect that or discount that.
I agree with you. And it's also about having different experiences.
Yeah.
She experienced something different. And you know, and given the fact, even if parents are the same, people have different experiences. And the way that they interpret those experiences are their perspective.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's a beautiful thing because it gave me a better understanding of who I was, but I had to listen. And I love your story about your uncle. Ashlyn, when you were sharing that, I kind of put myself there and what that must have felt like, that breakthrough, and it must have felt like a huge weight off of your heart. And once you've lifted that baggage and that weight off your heart, there's no turning back. And you try to mend those fences as much as possible. And that's kind of where I am. I don't want to be stressed during the holidays. It's a time of the season for peace, reflection, and lightheartedness. And I'm not going to go back to the days of carrying around the baggage of family.
Well, now, Eric, you may have hit upon a point there.
You
don't want to be stressed during the holidays. So in your, in kind of generally speaking, in our quest to not be stressed during the holidays, maybe that causes stress. And then therefore we start sniping at each other over just the littlest things, but they become magnified.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, I don't want to cause stress. Now I'm stressed.
And that's human nature, you know? To a degree. But I think as you mature, it happened with my wife the other day. I was stressed out about something. The money's tight and the month is long and all of that kind of stuff. And I was a little bit perturbed by it. But immediately thereafter, I said, you know what? I'm sorry. It's the holidays. I'm sorry. There's a lot going on. We mend it and we moved on.
Well, and I think a lot of times, though, like what you're saying, Bill, as well, is you get, don't be stressed. Like, I don't want to cause stress. But I think a lot of times in our heads when we're saying that, we're walking on eggshells at the same time.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times we have a tendency.
Doesn't that cause stress? Don't you think?
Well, yeah. And that's by not being honest. You know, and the reason why we don't be honest with people and we become more reactive is why? Because our ego stands in the way of us actually. It holds us back. Because it likes when we have problems.
Didn't you do a show a while back on ego?
I did.
And if somebody listening tonight wanted to listen to that show, how would they do it?
They can just go and put Perspectives of Ashley Burgess into any Google, and they'll find it on iTunes.
Bill, that was a smooth plug.
I'm telling you, you know, I just, you know, get him right in there, you know, you don't even, and then all of a sudden you're wondering, wow, how did he do that?
You know, you slow jam that plug in there, man. That was nice.
That's just how I roll, brother.
Ashley, how do people, if they want to do
that's
that?
That's how I roll.
How can they do that if they want to do that,
The quiet storm.
The quiet storm.
Bill, you can be in my family anytime, man. Anytime, brother. Anytime.
Bill will be there for Christmas. This is my white friend, Bill.
This is my brother from another mother.
So let's talk about ego, though. So we're talking about ego because ego, I can't say what ego is, but it starts with a B. And ego gets in our way when it comes to certain things because ego is one of those things that stands out there and goes, I want to have a fight. I don't want to make up with this person. I want to have problems, and I want to storm out of here, and I want to walk out the door, I want to make a big exit, and we're going to cause chaos again. Because I'm ego, even though, and what you're hearing instead of that is, I'm not going to deal with this. They're pushing me across, you know, they're pushing me to the edge right now. They just don't even understand me. They don't care about me.
Ah.
You know, that's what you're thinking in your head. That's what your ego's telling you. Oh, they just don't care about us.
They don't
want to know who we are.
I get it now, and so to a degree, family is the anti-ego. Mm-hmm. And ego won't let you interact with your family because family is the anti-ego.
Right. They will shrink your head faster.
Exactly. I don't care if you're the president of the United States of America. I remember I used to change your poo-poo diaper when you was a little baby. So you need to get yourself in order and get yourself straight.
Exactly. And also, like you said earlier, a lot of times family, we have similarities like we do with humans. And we don't necessarily always like the similarities that we have.
Because it's a mirror.
And
sometimes you don't like what you see in the mirror. So you see, I think it's, you know, here we go back to the ego. I think it's natural sometimes. You want that funhouse mirror reflection. You want to see what you want to see. And not really what's there. You know, you don't want to see
the funhouse mirror, though. It kind of like stomach and then head.
I don't know what mirror you're looking at.
That's my regular mirror.
I was going to say, you know, that's what I see normally.
Yeah, I'm a little offended, Ashley.
I'm trying to lose weight,
you know. I'm just kidding.
Like that bulbous head.
The bulbous head. Yes.
The head's too big for the body.
That's our word of the day.
Hey, that's how I was born, Ashley. That's hurting me. Stop it. You're like my family.
Bulbous.
Ego no like what you're saying. Ego no like you. Ego no like you.
No, ego not good. No, but think about it. It doesn't allow us to get close to people like that.
Yeah.
And it's true. And I think also maybe sometimes, you know, that's a good point you also said too. Sometimes you got to tell family too, if they keep bringing you down to size, you might want to say, what is this? Why is that?
It's like,
because there's a reason for that too.
It's because they're looking in the mirror.
Yeah, because you know how it is. I mean, I'm not going to name names or point fingers or name names, but I have a few relatives that I just don't talk about my career. Yeah. I don't talk about what I do because anytime it's ever brought up, and it's not ever brought up by me,
Look at Ashley.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, she thinks she's all that. Oh, she's big pants Burgess. Yeah. Oh, you know, she got big pants Burgess. Yeah. Oh, she thinks she's all that. Well, no, I don't talk about it because I don't want that because when somebody brings it up, they always just take me down to size. You know what I mean? Like, I could be in the same magazine right next to Obama's article about welfare and family values, and then there's my article right there, and they'll be like, yeah, I don't know about that magazine. I don't know about that. Okay, well, hey, anyway, pass the food, you know. I mean, good luck with all that, Ashley, okay? Huh? I remember when you were just, you know, okay. So I don't talk about that kind of stuff. But I've realized now that if you keep hiding what you do, what does that mean? I mean, eventually you got to come clean and start getting down to the nitty-gritty of why is it that they want you to feel that way?
They're going to feel whatever they're going to feel. And by the way, Ashley, you know, big pants and all of that stuff. I just got to say, you look wonderfully, just wonderfully wonderful in your skinny pants.
No, thank you.
Oh.
Yay.
Here we go. What a way to wrap up an hour.
Golly. Hey, I'm not her family. I can say that.
I like that. That was nice. Eric, let me get you something for Christmas.
Here we go.
He's going to get something better than you, Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to get a lump of coal, right?
The brother over
I'll get a 357 slug in my skull. You're working on it.
I'm over here blushing, but you can't tell because I'm so brown.
Mocha.
Mocha.
Mocha
latte. I'm blushing on the inside.
I love that. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about those seven steps that you can follow to get the best, have the best Christmas ever. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
We're going to draw some perspective. We're going to draw a road and some phone poles and a building going into the distance with some mountains and shadows and all that kind of stuff. We're going to do it really fast. You can't do perspective without a horizon that you're looking into the distance at.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And you've entered the zone, the holiday zone. And we're talking about the holiday survival edition here on Perspectives. I want you to get the most out of this holiday season, the most out of your Christmas. And if you follow and apply these seven steps that we've been discussing, you're going to have the best season holiday ever, ever. So right before the break, we were discussing about dealing with people's past mistakes, not to judge, not to place judgment of any kind. And I think a lot of times, instead of acceptance is what we need to be doing, we judge people by their past mistakes. We make judgment calls. We feel that people can never change. And we put people in certain spots. We pigeonhole them into who they are, when in actuality, we just need to let them grow. Let them be who they are. Let them flourish like a flower.
And I've already figured out what I'm going to get Eric for Christmas in order for him to flourish. I'm going to get him a portable space heater so he can just carry it around with him.
That's cool.
He just put on a pair of gloves. For those of our listeners, he just put on a pair of leather gloves.
You know why?
Because you're cold.
He's Michael Jackson.
No, because I'm equatorial.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. I'm sitting over here burning up. Yeah, it is hot in the studio today. And
you're always burning up.
Yeah, I'm always burning up.
You're on fire. You're fuego.
Because I am in fuego, baby.
I'm fuego, baby.
That's right.
Because I'm equatorial.
Oh, Diablo.
Well, I guess I'm polar. Because, you know, I don't, you know. So anyway, I'm going to see if there's like a carry around space here you can just put around your neck.
I seem to be in the happy middle. I seem to be like, I'm fine. I'm content. I'm not cold. I'm not hot. Even
well,
Steven.
It is Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. So as long as the star of the show, you know, with you and your entourage, we were just talking in the break, you know, how Ashley travels, you know, she tries to travel incognito.
I don't.
Sunglasses.
With the baseball cap and the Greta Garbo glasses. And
I don't do any of that because my eye contact is extreme and I get what I want when I show my eyes.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Betty Davis eyes.
Let me look away. Let me look
try,
away.
Try,
it's
try.
Too bright.
Before I turn into a pillar of salt.
Too bright.
What happened to Eric? Oh, he turned into a pillar of salt, man. I thought it was the holidays. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You got that. You got a bullet with Bill. You know, we got to take care of this.
Yeah, I get a bullet, and Eric gets a portable space heater. Then we got to figure out what to get you, Ashley.
Oh, God bless. Give me nothing. Just your love is what matters to me.
I'm going to give her my family. That's what I'm going to give her.
Now, well, what did she
I
do
got instant family. Instant what? Family.
Wait
just
a minute.
Add water.
What did she do to you that was so bad?
She didn't do anything. I just think she needs more color in her life.
What?
I'll get three kids and a wife.
But your family, though? I mean, there's better ways to do it than that.
I want three kids and a wife. I'm going to get all that right now. It's going to be awesome.
Three kids and a wife.
You see Ashley walking around. She's doing her best Angela Jolie, walking around with a bunch of little brown kids.
And a wife.
And a wife. Now, you going to keep this wife barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen? Is that what it is?
I don't think I can impregnate her, but I think I'll leave that up to somebody else. Yeah, we just took that a little far, but that's okay.
Hey, it's the holidays.
It's the holidays.
It's the season to be married.
And the eggnog we had during the break, I think it was spiked. So, you know, you'll just have to forgive us out there.
Ellen and DeGeneres would not be like best friends and hanging out, and then like Portia and your wife, which is now mine, could hang out all the time, and we'd just be running around, and yeah, see? And then I'll adopt like a couple other children from like Ecuador or something.
That'd be nice. Or Persia. I heard those Persian kids are really nice.
and they have perfect families that never fight during the holidays.
For thousands of years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's getting thick in here. It's getting thick. But yes.
For those of you who don't understand, we're making fun of our intern here.
Yeah, it's a long story, but we'll get to that in another show. However, we'll be making fun a lot. I guess y'all will be. I'm not. I'm neutral. Neutral.
Yeah, y'all make fun of me so much, and we might as well just start making fun of everybody.
Okay, well, we will then. I don't want to leave you. Well, I see, I always want to keep you an individual, you know, like you have like a certain spot. You're on a hierarchy, right?
Yeah. Keep the momentum going on
that. This is what holidays are supposed to be. Guys, all the listeners out there driving and at home and having listening parties, this is what the holidays is supposed to be about. You have fun, you make fun, you love each other, and you keep it moving, and you wait till the next time.
And you find ways to make each other flourish.
Exactly. And you get rid of the... Yeah, see, and you get rid of the bickering and the fighting.
Another nice little segment.
Nice.
That was nice, man.
That was awesome.
That was nice.
Like a flower. Back to the flower again. Yes, no, so let's go into the concept of number five.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah. That was a cute one. I like that one.
Yeah, yeah. I do many things.
Okay, stop.
Okay, we're going to switch subject matters and go right there now.
Rewind.
We're live here on channel XYZ News, and we're talking with Eric here on the streets of Anytown, USA. Let's talk about that last comment.
Family show.
Yeah.
Since I talk about flourishing here.
I was going to keep going on that, but I'm not. Okay, so number five, don't overanalyze. Don't overanalyze or read.
No, wait a minute. I want to think about that a little bit more. this is why we have to stream the show on video live, because if y'all listening on the radio just saw Ashley's face, it's a good thing she didn't have that .357 in hand right at that moment, because otherwise it'd be just, you know.
I would not do that on the air. That would be like immediate prison time. This show's got to go on forever. We can't do that. I'll just scare you with the tactic of possibly doing it. No, but you don't want to overanalyze, and you don't want to read too much into what? The actions of others. Think about it.
And that
overanalyze
is so easy
what
to
I
do.
Just said.
that is so easy to do. You know, because actually, I think, don't you think, Erica, that goes hand in hand with point number four? You know, I saw the way she just looked at me. I know what she's really thinking. And, you know, and obviously that explains why she did such and such. You know?
You're already locked and loaded before she may be looking at you to say, you know what, you have beautiful eyeshadow on today, but you're already locked and loaded with stuff that you're...
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, years ago.
What do you mean today? You know, you're trying to say that I don't wear eyeshadow, you know, it's like a Star Trek, you know, thing, shields up, you know what I'm saying? And you're already going in ready for battle.
Yeah.
And so...
Locked and loaded.
Yeah.
And I think we all do that a lot of times, especially with family, the ones that we've grown up with and the ones we might not have, because we make judgment. We think that they're making some sort of assumption. We even look at maybe their actions or the way they look at us, and we make that judgment call.
Yeah, I do feel small when my aunties look at me, though. I feel like that little kid with the afro and the ashy lips, you know?
And the newly changed diapers.
Yeah, the newly changed diapers, man. I, at one point in my life, I used to model... I also used to do TV commercials and all of that. And I'll never forget, I sent my aunt one of my layouts once, and she said, "Oh, look at you. You just grew up to just be a handsome young man, but I still remember your little ashy feet when you were little." I was like, oh, my God.
And your ego went from here?
It went from here.
To here.
To there. You know? And I guess to a degree, that's probably what I needed at the time. So, but anyway.
Wow. Bring me down to size, you know. So we like it when people are hard on us with their love. But yeah, no, but think about the concept, though, of how we feel about what people look at us, how they look, how they act. And then the problem is that we see a look or an action come from someone else, and because we're already thinking something else is happening, guess what? We react to them in a certain different way. And what happens? All of a sudden, both people are locked at each other, thinking, oh, okay, well, they have a problem with me, well, I have a problem with them, when in actuality, it could just be an emotional situation. It could just be just the way they are. They might have so much in their mind that they're not thinking about how they're looking. And also, people forget that a lot of people out there have emotional imbalances.
Yeah.
Like, people forget the fact that some people are walking around with a lot of issues, okay?
No kidding.
A lot of... They forget.
And you know what?
People have issues, really?
Yeah, and that's a really good point, Ashley, because sometimes we overlook that, or... compartmentalize that when it's family. Oh, that's just so and so, or that's just, you know, Tom, or that's just Susie. No, Susie's got some really, really mental clinical things going on and probably need some help. So
yeah, and the medicine might not be working. And yeah, and a lot of times that's what happens, is we make judgment calls based on the way, let's say, Susie looks that day at you. And you go, oh, she thinks she's all that. Oh, thinks she's all that, you know. And here's Susie's not even thinking that. Poor Susie's just barely holding on.
Here's
the other side of that coin, Ashley. It's, Susie obviously needs mental help, because Lord knows there's nothing wrong with me. So
Exactly.
So, I don't know why she's looking at me like that, because I haven't done anything wrong.
Well, and poor Susie's over there just wondering where her butt is and her head begins. You know what I mean? Sometimes we have those situations. And
it's funny.
Where you just don't even think about those kind of things. And it's like you have to sit there and be what? You have to be it within yourself. You have to believe in yourself. Have some sort of understanding of yourself to even understand what's really going on. Because if you're over there judging yourself, judging everybody else, making all these random judgments and assumptions, you're going to walk into the situation and just say, oh, there's just a bunch of sharks here for Christmas today.
One of the most
a bite if you need.
One of the most liberating things I did early in my life, in my college and 20s, was I would go and visit friends for their holidays. A lot in college, I would go, and I had diverse groups of friends. I had, Anglo friends. I had Latino friends. I had, Arab friends and all of that, and Latino friends. And I would go to their families. And every time I would go, it would be funny because I didn't have a dog in the fight. I didn't have a dog in the race. And so I could sit there objectively and look at all the dynamics. And that made me love my family even more oftentimes,
Looking back on it, all those people should have charged you admission.
They probably, because it was a show. It was like a Broadway show, man. But so for our listeners out there, if you haven't, go visit some of your friends' families for the holidays. And oftentimes, more than not, it'll make you appreciate your own family and that drama even more than you would being around your family all the time. So
that's hilarious. I love that. I gotta do that myself. Yeah. So stay tuned. We're gonna be talking more about these 7 steps that you can do to make this the best holiday season yet. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in 2 shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And we're talking about holiday survival. Holiday survival. This is our holiday survival edition here on Perspectives. And if you want the best holiday season yet, you want to have the most fun, you want to experience what it's all about, you got to follow these 7 steps we've been talking about. And in the last hour, we talked about believing in yourself, not falling into the pitfalls of buying into someone you're not, not trying to fit in just because you think your family wants you to be a certain way. Realizing that your family is only your family, that they are family. However, you didn't choose them. Okay, and a lot of times we want to fit in, or we want to try to understand where we fit in with our family, and it's kind of an honest deal. But at the same time, you just got to accept the fact that you didn't pick them; they are your family, and grow and roll with the situation. You want to stop those assumptions. You want to have a judgment-free zone. You want to also allow people to grow up from their past mistakes and to accept people and to realize that when we overanalyze situations, which is what we were talking about just from the last segment, the fifth and really good golden step is to stop overanalyzing situations and to not sit there and look through the actions of others to try to find some other meaning. So-and-so is after this or they're doing that. Because a lot of times you have to understand people don't really realize what they're doing. But also there's people out there that have a lot of emotional imbalances, okay? And so it's not even about you. Yeah. And that's the funniest thing is everybody's like, it's all about me. Well, it's not about you, okay? And a lot of times, 99.9% of the time, it's not about you at all. You just happen to be in the peripheral vision, but they're just trying to keep their life going. They're just trying to stand up straight, walk in a straight line, and put it together, right?
Yep.
And it's sad because a lot of times we don't even think about that. You don't realize that whoever in your family is really struggling with some imbalances,
Yeah, and life is hard, period. Life is hard. And just because someone smiles all the time, because Kiki smiles, she was a smiling baby and she was a smiling kid. But you know what? Kiki has problems, too. And just because they're smiling and, life is hard. And I think once you accept the fact that it's hard for everybody. You know, hopefully you can take some of your guards down and again, appreciate what we're talking about, these holidays, just a little bit more when you realize nobody's got it easier than anybody else. It's just their own personal circumstances.
Speaking of Kiki, shout out to our boy Kenan tonight.
What up, Kiki? What up, Kiki?
You missed that episode,
I?
Yes.
I just,
yes, it was awesome, though. Kiki. Kiki the man.
So it must be this osmosis thing. I don't even need to be in your physical
that's
presence.
Right. Yeah,
and I'm picking
just,
up on you guys,
out.
Man. And that's,
we needed so. A Kiki. We needed a Kiki. We needed a coffin. I mean, we needed a Kiki.
Yes.
We got a Kiki now.
Now we got to find a cough drop for me.
A cough drop for Bill.
Bill's toughing it out. This is the
show must go on.
This is the second show in the span of a few months that you've just really toughed it out, man.
Hey, you know,
I'd be at home. I'd be at home in a robe, fetal position, and my six socks.
I'm all about
Even
it.
A six
Remember
sock.
My six socks? I'd have my six socks on.
And
do you wash the six socks between being sick? Or
I do. I have to wash the six socks because I don't want one sick to impact another sick.
So it's not like a good luck pair of socks like you wear in sports. You gotta wash these.
Yeah.
Or a jock strap. You just no. Sorry.
You gotta wash that or not really.
Speaking of overanalyzing,
had a couple of teammates that didn't miss my lucky jock strap. We're gonna win the championship. I'm like, brother, you gonna win the championship by yourself if you don't wash that doggone jock strap. Sorry, I digress. Sorry, listeners. I had a moment. Too many blows to the head.
That made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, that's speaking of,
football
not being
does that.
Him,
football
yeah,
does
bang
that.
On the head.
That's
you know?
Hilarious. That actually made me laugh pretty hard. Huh? Okay, nobody wearing their lucky jock strap today, okay? So, no, and that's another, that should be step eight, okay? Don't wear unwashed jock straps or underwear to your Christmas holiday events. Wash your clothes. Smell okay?
Especially,
do the smell test before you go over there.
And especially clothes that come in direct contact with your most intimate region.
Do the smell test if you got to. Just wash. Just try the wash deal. Do the wash and dry. The washer and dryer, they love you. They love you, too.
The washer and dryer is a good thing.
They're good people, man.
Yes.
They're good people. They love you. You know, put some detergent
on. Look at Eric over there. He's, like, crying. He's laughing.
Put some detergent on there, too. Don't just wash it with water. Put some detergent
in.
Yeah,
use actual soap.
I like it when I go, hey, did you wash your hands? And you look at somebody, and they're over there washing their hands with just water. You go, man, that just defeats the whole purpose.
I've lost all of my professional composure. I'm in tears over here. It's hilarious.
Eric is actually tearing up over here. And there's no jock strap in sight. No unwashable and menstruable.
I was going to say no jock strap in sight. Okay, so, you know, we may make him drop trowel here in the studio here in a minute.
Oh, my God.
And our intern Vita's going, okay, I'm going to leave the room now. Thank you.
Oh, my. We take it at all time.
That's
okay,
hilarious.
So number six on the things that
you can do.
It
would be a new moon. Yes, I just did that to you.
It'd be a black moon rising.
That's right. It's a new moon.
Mocha moon rising.
See,
Cafe Mocha.
I'm the full moon. See, I'm the full moon and you're the new moon, okay?
Oh, God. Who's the eclipse? Okay.
We've lost it.
Okay, Ashley's going to pull it back together here. Okay.
Oh.
See, laughter is the best medicine over the holiday season as well.
It is.
But the number six step that you can take to make this the most fulfilling holiday season, period, is do me some me. Enjoy being you. You know, like, go into it. Feel how it is to be you. Enjoy the now. Enjoy just being. For God's sakes. I'm not asking a lot here, okay? I mean, like, breathe in and out and realize it's pretty cool being you, okay? Just being alive. Like, all of us go, well, you know, just being alive. Well, where's the just at? I don't know why they add the just. Like, when I add the family butt in there, family, it's like, just alive, I'm just alive. It's like, okay, it is what it is.
And, you know, our listeners all around the world, because we have listeners all around the world, Ashley.
On iHeart and everywhere else. But check out iTunes for Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. Or go to the new Spreaker.
There you go.
Which is Spreaker with an R, which is off of a lot of Facebook and that type of social media. Just put in Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, and it'll pull up Perspectives. And click on that and follow us there and listen right there from your phone. And how do you be me so me? I mean, because that's the thing is, like, you know, when people say, I'm going to do me. You got to start doing you where you get past this drama. You get past the drama that you're going to try to get pulled into, especially with the family drama, and you enjoy just being you. And what I'm trying to get at tonight is this, is that when you're actually realizing that it's really cool to be alive and you're breathing and your life is pretty good, even though a lot of times we sit there and we say, you know, life sucks and, you know, I'm barely moving in, I'm barely walking around here, you know, I'm just trying to survive the holidays. It's like, chill out, because a lot of that is drama and stress that we place on ourselves for no reason. I mean, really, there's not a lot of reasons. I mean, there are some out there, but you can let that go. And a lot of times when we get around family, though, we allow those stressors to get even more volatile.
You know, I think we need to add one, and Bill made a good point. I think, you know, when you encounter that family member that causes you stress or causes you anything other than happiness and joy, just start laughing. Like we just did. You know, just start laughing.
Just you know what? I'm just going to leave it aside. I'm just going to have a good time in spite of you.
Yeah, in spite of you. I know I was having a rough day today, and we all have it. Just a lot going on, a tight schedule. I got to catch a plane and all of this. And man, I feel 10 times better, man, just listening to Ashley talk about jockstraps. Yeah. Never thought it.
See, and weren't you
total
glad?
Total eclipse, man. Yeah, total eclipse. Yeah,
weren't you glad you got out of your meeting to come to this?
I'm glad I got out of my meeting to come to this because I needed this.
Yes.
I needed this. So, yeah.
And everybody listening, I hope you needed this too, that's what it's all about. Laughter is the best medicine. Sometimes we take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And when you're doing me, you stop taking yourself so seriously and you allow yourself to be funny. I mean, that's the key, is that a lot of us are really funny people. You know, we are humorous. We can be almost comedic. Allow yourself to be that way. Allow yourself to just be you instead of trying to fit in all the time, being uptight or whatever it is that you got to fit in being.
Uptight is uncomfortable.
It is. Especially when you're wearing your lucky jock strap.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
I mean, it's very uncomfortable.
Two sizes too small.
Yeah, I'm tight. You got to let stuff breathe.
Which, you know, in my case, they don't make sizes, you know, for me. So, you know, that I have to deal with that all the time.
Look at the on bill.
Oh, my Lord.
Listeners.
They're going to be like chest pumping.
Ashley, when you go to bed tonight, let that be the last image that you have in your mind when you're going to bed tonight.
I'm hitting my head on the microphone.
She's like, plucking her eyes out here. Get out of
my
head.
We'll see Ashley next week. Ashley, why do you look like that? I hadn't slept in days. Why you hadn't slept, Ashley?
That's me with my head on the microphone.
Doink, doink, doink.
Yeah, here. There you go. You know, bang your head. There you go.
Oh, the images.
Listeners, you cannot get this anywhere else on your radio dial.
No, you cannot.
Cherish it or your Spreaking or whatever the other thing that you're doing.
You can't get it. iTuning it.
You're iTuning it and all of that. So thank God for Perspectives.
Well, continue this show. We got a lot more to talk about how you can survive this holiday season. So stay tuned because I will be giving you the last tip and how to really follow these steps to having the best Christmas holiday season ever. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. What is right? What is wrong?
Live to Perspectives. I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're doing the Holiday Survival Edition here on Perspectives tonight, and we're giving you the 7 steps that you can do, that you can follow, to have the most awesome Christmas holiday season yet. You know, because I think a lot of times we put too much on our plate. You know, we go back for seconds way too much with helpings of stress and anger and resentment and assumptions and all kinds of insults and things that happen in the water under the bridge. I like that. I'll have another helping of the water under the bridge, please. Yeah, I'll take that too. And a little bit of assumption and a little bit of, you know,
judgment.
What the heck she thinks she's doing over there looking at me like that across the table, you know?
A healthy side of judgment, you know?
A big time healthy side of judgment.
Fully loaded.
With stuffing.
Yes.
And mashed potatoes.
And gravy.
Mmm.
And chives.
Mm. Chives?
Oh, I love chives in my mashed potatoes
capers?
And gravy.
Wow.
What about capers? Italian capers. Mm.
There you go. I can go for that.
She puts capers in her eggplant. I personally don't like capers in the eggplant.
Excuse me, folks. I'm hungry now. I'm going to go get something to eat.
God bless us
all. Get on with your bad self, making me hungry.
That's right.
Hungry.
I'm hungry. I'm already hungry and I just ate. Okay, so let's talk about this. So the sixth tip that we had was being do me some me. And you know what that means is be you, do you, enjoy being who you are and try to like eliminate and divide off from stress and anger. Because guess what? I have clients come in all the time and I've spoken about this where I have clients come in all the time and say, I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm pissed off. I'm this. Well, you know what the thing is that if you, I guess you're no longer Karen anymore. So you're pissed off. I'm going to refer to you in your first and last name now, pissed off. Okay. So you're not Karen. Now we got it. And so a lot of times we define ourselves by whatever emotional situation we're going through at that exact time.
Well, because we don't say I'm feeling this or whatever as I am. And whenever you say I am, then
you own it.
You become it. And that's probably not the healthiest way to approach it.
And a lot of times we take on drama and stress that's not ours either. When we're not being us and we're not being honest with ourselves, we're not being me, guess what? You allow other people's stressors to come into your life and to cause you havoc, i.e. you walk into a family situation, correct? Somebody makes a comment. You take it wrong, you assume one way. Guess what? If you were being you, you probably wouldn't accept it wrong because you would kind of see through it, right?
What do you mean my mashed potatoes don't taste like Granny's mashed potatoes?
So you mean they're bad?
Yeah, exactly. No, they just don't taste like Granny's mashed potatoes.
You got something else to say about it?
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't think they're like Grandma's, why don't you just get up from the table and just go on right now?
Jed, start the car. We're
no
leaving.
Corn for you.
But before you get the burnt roll upside your head.
You'll sit and eat your biscuit.
Slow your roll.
You'll sit over there and eat your biscuit. Go outside.
The burnt biscuit.
You'll be happy to get that, too.
That's right. I'm thankful to get it.
That's all you get. So there's our seventh step that you can take to make this holiday season the best ever is to realize that you're more than you. You can be love. You're love. You can demonstrate love. Be the non-judgmental love that's needed.
Yeah.
In the situation, and that can dub all the way through the year, and that can also move into your entire lifestyle and change your lifestyle.
And it's a powerful posture, Ashley. You mentioned it with your uncle. I've done it. I'm sure Bill has with a lot of his dynamics and others. But that's a liberating posture within the dynamic of a family structure. Love. And like I mentioned earlier, when folks come to the house for the holidays, I don't care what happened or who's not talking to who. I'm going to give you a big hug. And I'm going to tell you I love you, and I'm going to look you in the eye, and I'm going to give you another big hug. And that's powerful. That sets the tone, at least to some degree, for the next few hours, at least being something that is flourishing to a very high degree. L-O-V-E, love.
Well, and, you know, I whenever we talk about, the topic of love, and obviously we're talking in the context of familial love, you know, rather than romantic love. But I always think of that passage in the Bible where Paul is defining what love is, and also more importantly, what it isn't. You know, mm-hmm. Love doesn't keep it record wrongs.
Yep.
You know, yep. Of course, the whole passage off the top of my head escapes me. But I think the point there is that, when you genuinely love someone, again, in the context of familial love, then it's not a balance sheet. You know, one act of kindness has to be equally repaid with another. Or if they do something to you, well, you know, that's a debit under their account. You know what I mean? It's, you know, if you get so caught up in keeping records.
Keeping score.
Yeah, keeping score. Then, all of a sudden you kind of go back to step number five, right? You sit there and overanalyze it. And then, so it's like, he meant that.
When was the last time the scorekeeper was happy?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it.
Which, Bill, and I love your points, man. You have a wonderful way of seeing the world, which brings me to one of my favorite Sting songs, which was one of his off his Blue Turtles album, which was his first solo album. And one of the song's title was, "If You Love Somebody, If You Love Someone, Let Them Set Them Free." I mean, basically what you're saying, don't bring the baggage and don't bring the past judgments and don't bring all the other stuff Ashley was mentioning into that dynamic. If you love them for who they are at that moment.
Words and all. Even if at that moment that, you would rather strangle them as to look at them, you know, you know, just
sounds like a good family Christmas.
I'm telling you,
Brought
you know, you need to come to my family's gatherings for holidays one of these
I'm
days.
I'm gonna go one time.
But you know,
who's she kin to? She's wonderfully nice. Who let the little lovely young lady into the house? She's just a sweet young lady. Who's she kin to? Nobody
yeah.
in here.
Nobody in here. Yeah.
Hence why everybody likes her.
That's right. Why everybody likes her.
It's true. I did go to a family reunion one time of a friend of mine, and there was about 140 people there. It was a huge reunion. And yes, I was the only white person there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everybody loved me. I mean, everybody loved me.
Baby, who you kin to?
Oh,
who
God, your, Jesus is great.
Who your know? People, baby? Who your people?
Yeah, who your people? Who your family?
Exactly.
Where you know, where you stay, you know? And I was like, this is great. My friend's like, yeah, you're just seeing the best of the best. on a daily basis.
They're putting on an act for you.
You know, Ashley, that's why I love you so much, because I did the same thing. I went to a Jewish family deal, and they're like, who are your people? What branch of the tribe are you from? You know, I was like, I go way back.
Like, I go way back, and everybody love me here. Don't have a yarmulke, but everybody love me
here.
You're
part of the lost tribe.
Yeah, exactly. I go way back.
The lost tribe. The lost more tribe.
Shout out to my boy Milton out there. What's up?
Milton. What's up, Milton? Yeah, so let's talk about this. So the whole idea of demonstrating love, acceptance. What is love? It's non-judgmental. It accepts. And I think a lot of times we don't feel ourselves. You don't feel your internal selves when you are not accepting people. When you are full of judgment and constantly judging everybody around you, even if it's not being said, and it's just all up in the noggin, you're putting this like divider between you and other people. And it's interesting how a lot of times we start like I think I've talked about this before, is that gossiping is one of the biggest things that takes you out of the moment. Like right when you start gossiping about somebody, and I'm talking about not something that actually happened with you, I'm talking about a hearsay, and then you're gossiping about a situation. Like, you're no longer in the present tense anymore. You're like a spectator in your own life, onto the sidelines, not even focused on your own journey anymore, because you're too busy talking about what so-and-so and so-and-so did, and who's the father of the baby, and are they really pregnant, or they buy pregnancy pee, or do you know what happened? So you got all these issues going on, and it's the same thing as when you don't love, and instead you're non-accepting and you're judgmental, is that you're no longer you're not in life anymore. You're playing some sort of game that either other people that are judging are playing as well, but you're missing the whole reason we're here. It's like you're missing the whole event. You know, it's like showing up to the party and never opening the door. You know, you're out there in the front looking at the front door. You don't ever ring the doorbell, and you just stand there, and you hear everybody inside having a great time, and you stand there for the rest of your life.
Looking through the peephole, you know? It's like, I see figures in
like,
there.
Like the scene in The Scrooge, right? Where they showed him his life with him being dead or something. Yeah, kind of like that. You're just a voyeur.
Yeah, waiting at the door of life, right?
Waiting at the door.
Man, that was profound. Gosh, that was great, Ashley. Good job, Ashley.
You're good.
I'm being me some tonight.
Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back.
I'll let you do it.
Okay.
I'm being me some me tonight, so let's be me some me. No, but when we return, we're going to be talking more about these seven steps and how to really put them into your life, you know, and use them throughout the year, but really to have an awesomely successful Christmas and holiday season. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you wanna see and take you where you wanna be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's Perspectives have been the Holiday Survival Edition. The Holiday Survival Edition of Perspectives. I feel like I should say an entertainment TV. No, the Holiday Survival Edition of Perspectives. And we're talking about the seven steps that you can do and you can follow to have the best Christmas holiday season ever. And in the last hour and a half, the last 2 hours, basically, the last lots of time that we've been on here, we've been talking about believing in yourself, realizing that your family is just your family, stopping the assumptions, the judgment-free zone. I like that one. That's actually pretty cool.
Judgment-free zone. I like that. I'm going to make a poster of that when I go home for Christmas.
I'll get you a neon sign.
Thank you.
Is there a toll? You have to have a toll tag to get on that? Do that zone.
I think I'm going to require it. Yeah.
Members only.
Yes.
Yeah. Toll tag.
You want all the people in the world to be a member of this zone.
Yes, definitely.
Toll tag.
You don't want to overanalyze. You know, you don't want to overly analyze the actions of others and assume things, because usually what? Assumptions make an ass out of you and me, as always. You know, you want to do me some me. Do me some me, which means you want to be yourself. You want to understand who you are. You want to get in the groove. You want to feel the feelings of being alive and just how miraculous this whole thing is, instead of all the stress and anger and drama that a lot of times we fall for, especially around family. There'll be that one family member that it's like you both love the pain body. There's like this pain body within both of you that you go, oh, I'm attuned to that. Let's negative hate. You know, let's negative talk about stuff right now. And in actuality, there's really no need for that. And then lastly but not least was the whole concept of being love and understanding that, you know, if you're not being love and you're judging people and you're making assumptions on a second-to-second basis, it's like you're standing literally outside the door of happiness and not even realizing that you can ring the doorbell, period. You're just standing there. And I've been there before, where you stand there and you're just kind of like, this sucks. And yeah, it does suck, because it's like standing outside of the greatest party ever and never getting in. So let's talk a little bit more in depth about things that you can do to really activate these 7 steps and create the happiest, coolest Christmas holiday season you ever had. I think the first thing is to be honest. Is to be historically honest, to be honest with people, because when you're honest with people, there's nothing else you can say.
Honesty is a good thing.
Honesty is the best policy.
It is, because you're not having to lie, you're not having to BS.
Now, without getting too deep into it, Ashley, because I know
we're already deep.
I know we are, but I mean, we're in the last segment of the show.
You mean not to dig another hole?
Not to dig another hole here, but it's also good to be tactful, though, isn't it?
Well, we're not talking about you look good or you don't look good, you know. Grandma, you look fat in that dress. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, hey, this is where I am in my life.
Yeah,
this is what I'm doing in my life. And for everybody out there smoking or drinking, deal with it. You know, be you. Step up to the plate and be who you are. Don't sit there and hide it behind the shed or out there by the garage, you know, spraying on some perfume or some cologne on the way in. I mean, like, just be yourself and be honest with people, because when you're honest with people, people might be upset, but it's really honesty. I mean, there's really no way of looking at it besides I'm being me, and if you love me for who I am, you'll accept this.
I agree. It's a wonderfully liberating existence. My kid's daddy, you're too honest. I'm like, hey, I worked hard for this honesty, you know?
You earned it.
Yeah, I worked hard for this honesty.
Clean living.
I earned this honesty, man.
Here's your diploma in the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, exactly. I earned this honesty, so
I've been honest about stuff. You know, there's been times in the past where I've been honest about things that I usually wouldn't talk about.
Yeah.
You know, and it just came out one day, and I said it, and the coolest thing is those are things that maybe I would try to sweep under the rug of my life, like it wasn't the best times of my life.
Yep.
But the people I said it to, they got more respect for me.
Yeah.
They like respected me even more, because they're like, wow. And they were like, man, Ashley's hardcore.
That's a big thing in my church. We talk about testimony, and it took me a while to kind of understand that, and because it was counterintuitive, because in those sittings, you know, you got a perception about yourself. But the more I gave up, and you know, you're not going to tell every little secret, but the more I shared with my own personal pain and journey, you know what? I realized there was a big crowd of people saying, you know what? Us too. You know, us too. So yeah. Honesty.
Exactly.
Honesty is good.
And normally when you're honest, other people feel like they can be honest around you.
Let's do it.
You know, okay, I think the second thing that'll really help, you know, drive these 7 steps home is to realize that you might have to offer some backstory, especially to family and friends over this holiday season. Don't assume that they know.
Yep.
And don't assume that they understand what you're talking about.
Even if they were in the same house with you, don't assume that.
Because what does assuming do?
Makes an ass out of you and everybody else.
There you go.
And I don't look good in donkey shoes.
Neither do I.
Mm, yeah. Donkey. What was that?
Sorry.
You do that too well.
It was from the Godfather movie. You remember that scene? Well, you don't watch movies, Bill.
No, I'm talking about? It's a movie I've seen.
Yeah, the donkey thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's one movie that Bill's seen.
Okay, count it on one hand.
We're still in the last century, though.
Oh, last century. Good job.
It's an ongoing joke,
you know,
listeners. So
the last century,
yeah, listeners, you'll have to get on Spreaker and
it was
iTunes
after
to
the
find
Last
out what that
Supper
joke is.
And in the last century.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't want to assume that people know what you're talking about. You don't want to assume that people understand or know. And a lot of times we just assume that people are in our head, and we sit there and we go, "Well, I did this for this. I can't believe they're giving me attitude or whatever it is." When in actuality, they probably have no idea what's going on. And if they do, you haven't gone up there and started the dialogue. Like, if you remember back on the first hour, I was talking about my uncle and when we started this conversation, and I literally wanted to react hardcore with him because I had been dealing with the issues with the situation and I didn't want to really talk about it. And so I really wanted to react. And instead of reacting, I became really proactive and we had a good conversation. And I realized that by not reacting, I knew in my heart of hearts there's no way that he could understand the situation that was going on. He wouldn't be acting like that if he knew.
Yeah.
And I think you have to just give people the benefit of the doubt and hold back that ego, because that ego wants to divide you off from everybody in the room, especially people in your family. And the ego would rather have you driving home in the middle of the night, going back 8 hours back home so you can sit by yourself and have your own Christmas with a bottle of Jack Daniels, you know what I'm saying? And talking about how awful your family is. That's what the ego would prefer you to have. It would, instead of, wow, I'm friends with all my family, I'm honest with them, you know, I don't care, I don't judge them, so I don't really care if I am being judged. Because really, if you think about it, if you're judging other people, that's the problem. And if you stop judging, then it really doesn't matter if anybody's judging you, does it? It just doesn't matter.
And 40 years later, you're alone.
With the judgment, right?
You and ego is just you and ego.
And there with Jack Daniels and his partner, Jimmy Beam. My drink alone.
You got it, man. You're alone.
It's like that Castaway movie, you know, where
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And after a while, he started talking to himself.
Which I did not see, but I know what it is.
Your ego becomes just like that volleyball.
Yeah.
You know, whatever his name was. And instead of being a nice guy, the ego just puts you down on every single step of the way, but also tells you that's the right thing for you to be doing because you're better than everybody else.
Yep,
you know, you don't need them. They're just bringing you down.
That's it.
They're trying to kill you, put you in the grave faster. And again, going back to the concept of assumptions making ass out of you and me, you know, you have to remember that too. Assumptions do put a barrier between us and other people and us and love. And the only way you can connect is to love, and otherwise, if you put judgment out there, all you're doing is connecting with judgment, and that's a pretty empty feeling. You got nothing there.
Yeah, and that whole robe thing, I don't look good in a black judge robe. It's just kind of...
I want to see you in the wig.
You need one of those English-style wool
wigs. Is that
wigs.
What it is?
Yeah.
That's not a good look. The whole thing with the whole Colonial Day wigs and stuff with the ponytail?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I can't do the judge thing. I'm not going to do it. Not a good look.
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to judge.
No, I'm not either.
And
you do that, Bill.
I don't look good in the dock, you know, being judged. You know, I mean, I don't look good judging.
Cut off his head.
Yeah, you know, off with his head.
Off with his head.
You know?
So no judges and no judging on this show.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Works judge for me. Free zone.
Judge works free zone.
There's no Judge Judy here.
All right, so when we have that evaluation, Ashley, I'm going to remind you, no judging here.
Wow. If she had been drinking something right now, it wouldn't come up her nose. You know, just went.
So my end of the year evaluation, no judging allowed.
No judging.
And I shall not be judged.
And I shall not be judged. Well, you know, we'll have to go out and have some drinks or something instead then, because we'll have to refute that concept. But yeah, you know, and lastly, but least, and I think this is what we talked about earlier, was, you know, when was the last time that the scorekeeper was happy? Go into these situations with your family and friends and realize that you will enjoy the season as much as you allow yourself to enjoy yourself. Allowing yourself to be happy is part of the key. Allowing yourself to be happy, getting over the issues, not allowing the past to stand in the way of the present is what is profoundly important for you for the season. But it goes much farther than that, you know. But let's just look at it from the holiday Christmas season right now. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It can be all year long. Putting past judgments aside, allowing yourself to be you, doing you some me, and allowing this to happen, because guess what? It'll be the most amazing season. Eric, great show tonight.
Yeah. And let me just add real quick. If you get a chance, just go to a children's Christmas play. It will change your life. Go look at some elementary school kids doing a Christmas play, and it will change your life. Pleasure to be here. Thank you. Keep joying your life. Keep loving your life, and smile often.
Bill, awesome show.
Thank you very much. And also thank you to all our listeners who followed us on Facebook and Twitter tonight. We really appreciate you.
And I think this was an awesome show. And again, we want you to have the best holiday Christmas season. You know, and also there is one other thing. Give your time and talent to an organization that needs you. That also helps as well, helping people that are less fortunate or helping people that don't have any family. It puts everything right into perspective. We hope you have the best holiday season. And this has been our survival edition of Perspectives. We have a new show for you next week. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in 3 shakes.